firmly. "I ain't thinking of one right now, and I gives you my word on that. You want to take control of that brain of yours, Miss Level. So, you've lost a spare body. What's another body when all's said and done? Just a lot of upkeep, another mouth to feed, wear and tear on the furniture. In a word, fuss. Get your mind right, Miss Level, and the world is your..." The old witch leaned down to Tiffany and whispered, "What's that thing? Lives in the sea, very small, folks eat it." "Shrimp?" Tiffany suggested, a bit puzzled. "Shrimp? All right. The world is your shrimp, Miss Level. Not only will there be a great saving on clothes and food, which is not to be sneezed at in these difficult times, but when people see you moving things through the air, well, they'll say, 'There's a witch and a half and no mistake,' and they will be right. You just hold on to that skill, Miss Level. You maintain. Think on what I've said. And now, you stay and rest. We'll see to what needs doing today. You just make a little list for me, and Tiffany will know the way."
"Well, indeed, I do feel somewhat shaken," said Miss Level, absent-mindedly brushing her hair out of her eyes with an invisible hand. "Let me see, you could just drop in on Mr. Umbril and Mistress Turvey and the young Rattle Boy, and check on Mrs. Towney's bruise, and take some number 5 ointment to Mr. Drover, and pay a call on old Mrs. Hunter's saucy corner, and, now, who have I forgotten?" Tiffany realised that she was holding her breath. It had been a horrible day and a dreadful night, but what was looming and lining up for its place on Miss Level's tongue was somehow going to be worse than either. "Ah, yes, have a word with Miss Quickly at Uttercliffe, and then probably you'll need to talk to Mrs. Quickly, too. And there are a few packages to be dropped off on the way. They're in my basket, all marked up. And I think that's it. Oh, no, silly me, I almost forgot. And you need to drop in on Mr. Weevall, too."
Tiffany breathed out. She didn't really want to. She'd rather not breathe ever again than face Mr. Weevall and open an empty box.
"Are you sure you're totally yourself, Tiffany?" said Miss Level,
and Tiffany leapt at this life-saving excuse not to go.
"Well, I do feel a bit," she began, but Mistress Weatherwax interrupted with, "She's fine, Miss Level, apart from the echoes. The hiver has gone away from this house, I can assure you."
"Really?" said Miss Level. "I don't mean to be rude, but how can you be so certain?" Mistress Weatherwax pointed down. Grain by grain, the spilled sugar was rolling across the tabletop and leaping into the sugar bowl. Miss Level clasped her hands together.
"Oh, Oswald!" she said, her face one huge smile. "You've come back!"
Miss Level, and possibly Oswald, watched them go from the gate. "She'll be fine with your little men keeping her company," said Mistress Weatherwax, as she and Tiffany turned away and took the lane through the woods. "It could be the making of her, you know, being half-dead." Tiffany was shocked. "How could you be so cruel?"
"She'll get some respect when people see her moving stuff through the air. Respect is meat and drink to a witch. Without respect, you ain't got a thing. She doesn't get much respect, our Miss Level."
That was true. People didn't respect Miss Level. They liked her in an unthinking sort of way, and that was it. Mistress Weatherwax was right, and Tiffany wished that she wasn't.
"Why did you and Miss Tick send me to her, then?" she said.
"Because she likes people," said the witch, striding ahead. "She cares about them. Even the stupid, mean, dribbling ones. The mothers with the runny babies and no sense. The feckless and the silly and the fools who treat her like some kind of a servant. Now, that's what I call magic. Seeing all that, dealing with all that, and still going on. It's sitting up all night with some poor man who's leaving the world, taking away such pain as you can, comforting their terror, seeing them safely on their way, and then cleaning them up, laying them out, making them neat for the funeral, and helping a weeping widow strip the bed and wash the sheets, which is, let me tell you, no errand for the faint-hearted, and staying up the next night to watch over the coffin before the funeral, and then going home and sitting down for 5 minutes before some shouting, angry man comes banging on your door because his wife's having difficulty giving birth to their first child, and the midwife's at her wit's end, and then getting up and fetching your bag and going out again. We all do that, in our own way, and she does it better than me, if I was to put my hand on my heart. That is the root and heart and soul and centre of witchcraft, that is. The soul and centre."
Mistress Weatherwax smacked her fist into her hand, hammering out her words.
"The soul and centre."
Echoes came back from the trees in the sudden silence. Even the grasshoppers by the side of the track had stopped sizzling.
"And Mrs. Earwig," said Mistress Weatherwax, her voice sinking to a growl, "Mrs. Earwig tells her girls it's about cosmic balances and stars and circles and colours and wands,
and toys, nothing.